Welcome to Fusion Talk.
With Anouk and Steve. You failed.
No, I didn't.
You failed. You said you were going to bring me chocolates.
Yes, I failed on that one. I didn't have time to go to the store.
Yeah, I don't know. You teased me over in Warsaw with how wonderful the chocolates are from your local chocolate supplier. And we meet to record a Fusion Talk podcast.
Yes, and I've told I would bring them for the next recording, and I didn't make it to the store. I'm sorry.
I think we should just pack up and go home now. I mean, the only reason I came here was for chocolates.
Ah, that's not true. You like the recording as well.
That is very right. I do love the recording. And we've got some fun stuff to talk about today, actually.
Yes, but first of all, you were talking about Warsaw. How was your workshop with Maureen?
Oh, it was very, very good. We got 5 out of 5 out of 5 out of 5. We got top marks all the way across. It was great. People were up for it. There was about 18 or 20 people in there. So we had four teams. And in fact, if you want to hear a little bit more about it, you can go and listen to M365 Distilled podcast, which was recorded last night. Tonight I'm doing Fusion Talk, but it'll be released about the same time, where we are actually talking about Warsaw for the whole hour. So we talked about the how we put Jenga into governance. So, yes, we're talking about that. And Maureen's talking a little bit about his presentation for Smart Goals. And then we also drink 2 Polish whiskies.
Of course.
Oh, but sorry. Was you bored? You're sitting there looking at your time halfway through my conversation.
No, somebody sent me a message. Sorry for that. Of course you drink Polish whiskey. Did you expect something else to drink after Warsaw?
It went very, very well, actually. It's a great event. It's so friendly people.
Yes, it was lovely.
Sorry, I'm excited and over-talking. I will try not to do that. But you know the really special thing for me is that every restaurant you go to has got more than the 5 normal whiskies. They've got a selection to choose from. But and if you really want to hear the funny story about how I headed off to the largest whiskey store in Warsaw and didn't get there, you should also catch that on that podcast as well.
So I should listen.
You should listen, although you know the story, so that's all right. How about your presentation?
It was fine. I still need to make some adjustments to it, but yes, it's fine to do. Especially because I'm talking about a subject that not many people touch, because not many people are working with it already.
No, and I found that really interesting, because you had about 25 people or something, yes, in the room, if not a few more. And you said to them how many people are working on Viva, and 2 people put their hands up.
3, yes.
3. Sorry. Whoever the third was, please forgive me.
So, and it was quite interesting because, yeah, 3 people only using Viva, and Viva in generally, not Viva Connections, where no. I was talking about. So, yes, I do think there is a place we need to get out more information about it.
And you were actually talking about something that was free.
Yes, for most of the people it's free.
Yeah, depending on your license. So yes, but that was a good presentation. I enjoyed that. I've heard it a couple of times now. I think I watched you do it in Paris, but I was miles away doing it remotely.
Yes, I was in Paris as well.
Yeah, and then of course being in Warsaw, we saw it there too. So no, it's quite good, but that's fine.
Cool. And I will do it again on Monday.
You're going to do it again on Monday?
Yes, the Viva Explorers in the Netherlands.
If you're in Amsterdam, at the airport, at the Microsoft offices.
The 22nd,
I think that sounds about right.
Yes.
Then you're doing it again along with...
Peter is also going to give a talk. Shanigan is also going to give a talk. And then there will be a keynote from Microsoft itself.
Nice.
Organized with Femke Cornelissen, Maureen, Peter and myself.
Ah, cool. And very, very organized it is too. And how do they find out about it? It's a meetup, isn't it?
It's a meetup, yes.
So if you go to meetup and search for Viva Explorers in Amsterdam.
Or just go to LinkedIn and search for me, Moraine, Peter or Femke, and you will find some
there
information
you
as
You'll
well.
You'll have to be quick, though. This should podcast should be out about Saturday, so organise your Monday, get yourself into Amsterdam and do that. So, yes, then they'll be able to see that presentation. With the tweaks or without the tweaks?
With.
With tweaks. Woohoo! All right, cool. I'll stop being an idiot now. Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. So that was the weekend. Well, it wasn't weekend, was it? It was for Thursday and Friday.
Yes.
I still can't get used to the idea that SharePoint Saturdays are not on Saturdays anymore.
No, most of the time they've moved to Fridays.
Yeah. I need to dig into that and find out why, because I think there's interesting to see whether people are actually now separating more their work and home life more than they used to do.
Yep.
So that's good. And you had a workshop today?
I did. I did have some lovely workshop to provide for getting out content types and metadata for a company. So they start working with SharePoint. They want to have some content types and metadata. Didn't know how to start with it, and we had some discussions how you can define them.
Cool. And I'm not just introducing this subject for the sake of it, just to show off your skills. We are going to talk about a bit of we've got a statement that says, is collaboration just communications with a goal?
Yes.
Don't need to answer the question yet. We'll dig into it a little bit later on. But your workshop today, you had a very funny story. They all started getting their laptops out. Funnily enough, they did for me as well on Thursday. They all started laying laptops on the table and we went.
No, stop. We are not going to use the laptops. We are going to use sticky notes.
Sticky notes. Were they impressed when they saw post-its?
They were surprised. Why are we going to use sticky notes? And then I start talking about it, explaining how it will work, and they were, oh, this is a very nice idea. Nobody has done this before with us.
Cool. They obviously they'd not listened to our first podcast.
No, they didn't hear about it, but they do now.
I can't believe that there are people in business today that have not done workshops without using post-its.
I do think they have done some workshops with post-its, but not something IT related.
Oh, okay, yeah. Especially something where they actually have a goal that they're trying to achieve.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, that's
pretty cool. It's fun doing. I will do it again on Friday, so.
Neat. So how did you kick it off?
I kick it off with asking them, look to what your daily job. What is going well? What is going wrong? Where do you want changes?
Nice. And then from a post-it perspective, what was the first things that they put on the wall?
The first thing they put on the wall is not knowing where which document is stored.
Ah, so do they all say, where are my documents stored? Or do you just
not knowing not knowing where something is placed in which folder? Because they do use file servers.
Yeah.
And they have folder and folder and folder and folder and folder and folder and they don't find the information they need.
That's cool. That's cool. I quite like the idea that you set up by identifying what the problem is they're trying to resolve, what the goal is.
Yes. That was one of the issues and somebody else described it as we have too many bloody folders or something like that.
Too many bloody folders.
Yeah.
It's not about the number of folders, it's about the depth of folders.
Yep. So one was telling me they have 24 folders
deep. I used to sit there when I've taught this myself. The biggest one I ever came across was 18 deep, and that was by the knowledge management team in the organization. And I would sit there and go, do you know what that means? So you start at the top and you go click, 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 18 folders. And then you look in there and you go, no, it's not there. Shit. Close, 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 close. All right, now let's start again.
It's crazy.
It is, yeah. But it's really click, 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 click. And then you get close, close, close. And then you go, oh, it might be in there. Click, 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 click. And yeah, get yourself lost in no time at all.
Yes. So it was very nice. They had some great ideas. They did some very good communications with each other, discussions with each other. So it was a good day.
So from today, do you agree that collaboration is just communications with a goal? Yes or no? Or shall we just discuss it and come to a conclusion later?
Let's discuss and see what the conclusion will be.
All right, that's fair to do. So what we've actually done is a mind map, which you guys have probably seen already because we've already posted it 2 minutes ago, and you'll get the end results of that.
They didn't see the map.
They've not seen the map?
No. I did make a picture, but they didn't see anything on the map.
Because you were teasing them.
Yes.
You were teasing them. All right.
But they should know what a mind map is. We have talked about it.
They will know what a mind map is. Now they'll get to see one because we will post some stuff when we post the podcast at the weekend. Then they'll get to see what it actually looked like. And that's pretty cool. Where do we want to start on this? So
I would say with the question.
Okay, so you want to go, is brainstorming communication?
Yes.
Because collaboration involves a lot of brainstorming.
Yes.
So is collaboration just communications with a goal? So obviously there is a goal, but there's a process. So in your brainstorming this morning, you had a goal in your mind, but you weren't telling them at that point what it was.
No.
You wanted to work towards it because you're just a big tease. Actually, you need to anticipate. People need to have some kind of anticipation.
Yes, and if you start a workshop like that and you directly tell this is what we would need like to achieve, then they are going to start thinking about that and forget the process to get there.
No, okay.
And that was quite important to get that process right.
So we're going to use one of the techniques that we've talked about before, which is brainstorming around an idea. And we may or may not use the one around content types. So the question was, is brainstorming communication? So we've got two answers.
Yes.
Or no.
Yeah.
So you think it is.
Yes, because if you are brainstorming with people, you are communicating with them, you are talking with them, you want to know what they think, how they want to do something, and you have the discussion about it.
Okay, now let's just go back. Define brainstorming, because we're talking about brainstorming. Brainstorming isn't talking about something.
No, brainstorming is putting all of the ideas you have somewhere and see how they can connect to each other and get stuff done or get the basic to get solutions for things.
Is brainstorming actually talking about it, or is brainstorming just putting the ideas on the wall?
For me, it's a combination of both.
Oh, that's a cop-out answer. But so there's I something people need to know about you. You don't like to lose. You don't like to be wrong.
No. But for me, it's a little bit of both because...
Rubbish. It's very wrong. But carry on. I won't interrupt you anymore. Unless you start talking rubbish. Go on.
We will see how long that will take. But okay.
Go on, shoot.
Okay, so for me it's a little bit of both because when you do a brainstorm, you don't do it alone. You have people around you. And because you have with multiple people in one room, you start talking about everything. So for me, that's why there is a communication between them. They communicate, they have an idea, they put it on the wall and somebody is writing something else down. What is close to the same idea, so they start talking. They start communicating.
So they're not collaborating then? They're not brainstorming then, sorry. So if you say, let's brainstorm these ideas, I bet you use words along these lines. You say, okay, guys, we're going to brainstorm ideas. If you've not done this before, I need you to grab some pens, need to grab some post-its, and any idea you have around, in this case, you was talking about where I lose my content. So tell us what's the worst part of trying to find your content. You will step back and you will let them keep putting post-its on the wall. That is the goal. When the idea comes, put it on the wall. Let's just get it out there, because you don't want people to do brainstorming based upon what somebody else has put on there. You want them to get all the ideas disconnected on the wall so that you're not biased. That's what you're trying to achieve, is it not?
Yeah, but I did it a little bit different today.
Oh, no, I'm not worried about what you did. I'm talking about, is brainstorming communication? And the answer is no, it's not. In my mind, it's not. Because you want fresh ideas without being biased to start off with. You're trying to get all the data you want up on the wall or in front of you, and then you're going to start looking at connecting it. In fact, if you do it properly, you have a bowl of red wool and some tape, and you keep linking things together with different pieces of wool to so you can connect in the ideas. Or you group them together. Move the post-its. Is that not what you do in a brainstorming session? I know you do, because that's what you've done in the past.
Not always.
Oh, you are so... What have I got to do to persuade you or to get you to actually admit that
no,
this might be right?
I have done that in brainstorm sessions as well, but I even had some brainstorm or discussions about if there is an issue with an API call, on what can be the issue and how to fix it. You are brainstorming with somebody else about the issue and how to fix it, but you do communicate them.
I don't think you're brainstorming.
You try to find...
No, you're not brainstorming. You're collaborating with them to try and find the result, but you're not brainstorming. If you say to him, all right, let's just list all the things we think could be wrong, then you're brainstorming. Is this that hard to admit you're wrong? Okay, let's move on. All right, so I think that it's not communicating, and that's fine. And I am going to agree with you. It's what you're saying, I think. Communication happens when discussing those brainstorm results. That's when you communicate.
Yes, you communicate then.
So, are you brainstorming at that point?
You do get other ideas out of it.
I didn't say that. I asked whether you were brainstorming at that point.
But getting those other ideas, isn't that a form of brainstorming?
You think it's that hard to actually admit that you're wrong?
No, we just both have another opinion about it, and that's all fine.
No, it's not that we don't have an opinion about it. You're wrong. All right, just... Put a definition in here for me and actually say define brainstorming. I'll let you type on that keyboard while I'm just... oh, look at that. It must have heard us talk about Ignite earlier. Look, it's... put Chicago up. Right, define brainstorming. So the definition of brainstorming is group discussion to produce ideas or solve problems. Brainstorming can generate wonderful ideas.
If I read this...
Don't want to waste the word discussion.
If I read just the definition, if you listen to that, that's what I'm trying to say.
But it's not what we do.
It's something different. But
oh, it's different then. It's not really brainstorming.
It's a combination of how you do it. So how you do your brainstorm sessions is very okay, because you let the people first write things down and start a discussion after that. So you give them 5-10 minutes to write down ideas and start a discussion. But what I did today was I give them time that they start thinking about what they want, just when I was talking about it. And then they say, okay, we have this issue, we want to go there or we want to go that. And we start communication on it during that session.
You don't start brainstorming on it. If communication, let's look at all these other four definitions of brainstorming here. Brainstorming is a creative technique in which a group of people interact to suggest ideas spontaneously in response to a prompt. So the prompt, one prompt, not each other. Stress is typically placed on the volume and variety of ideas. So that's you're stressing for want different ideas and this. And the next one says, the most effective and rewarding brainstorming sessions are those where there are few rules, inhibitions, and boundaries as possible. Conversations are a set of rules. It is whether you like it or not. There's rules to conversation. And brainstorm means using the brain to storm a creative problem and to do so in commando fashion, which I really like, with each stormer attacking the same objective. Not the one that somebody else put up previously, the same objective for everybody.
Yes, but it was going to the same objective.
Okay, define communications for me then.
So they were discussing, they start about what their issue was at the company, what they had, and then they gave an idea about what was important for them. And they start to communicate on that in group because there were different departments. And then they say, yeah, we have some kind of similar issue, but for us it's more that.
So you weren't brainstorming. You were just listing the ideas. You were making notes of the conversation. Are you getting frustrated by this, by the way?
No.
Okay.
I was listening to them, first of all, yes. And I let them discuss what they need, because otherwise we couldn't get what the real issue or how to fix the real issue.
Just trying to get their mind back up again. So the real question was, is brainstorming communications? And you think it is, and I think it's not.
And that's perfectly fine.
No, it's not. We want to tell people, hey, you're going to run a brainstorming session.
Yes.
And they need to know in our podcast what we mean by brainstorming. Okay. In my mind, it is one of those other definitions, not the one about discussions, because that's the dictionary definition, by the way. It's not the right one. But the brainstorming sessions you want is as many ideas as you possibly can on the wall. That's the idea of storming, is brainstorming. So if you start communicating about one, you're not going to end up with different ideas. You're going to end up with the same ideas. Or you're going to end up with an idea that's been developed. You're not going to get them straight out of people's heads. You're not. Communication is about an exchange of information. It's about context. So if you start having a conversation and you're putting post-its on the wall, you're just taking notes. Or you're saying, let's generate some ideas. Or I think your jumper is a really beautiful color. And you might say, actually, yes, I really like this jumper because it goes well with my best skirt or something. And I'm going, okay, so let's say jumper and skirt. So the idea is make sure your jumper and skirt match. That's collaboration. It's not brainstorming. She's considering it. She's considering it. She thinks I might be right. She's getting close. All right. But I do agree, as I said earlier, communication does happen when you discuss those brainstorming ideas. And that's when you're trying to stimulate communication in collaboration.
Yes.
Well, that, yes, I'm right, or?
For the last part, yes.
Oh. I don't know. So good job these users know that you're joking with me and that you know that I'm right, really. All right. So we'll leave that one open-ended then for a little while. So let me throw something else at you for a second. The way that I teach SharePoint, or have done it in the past, and try to identify how people should treat their information, is by using something called DICK, which I've only just realized is actually dick. I've never noticed that before. Anyway, I used to have it on the side of my van, actually, not dick, but I had data, information, and knowledge. I never realized it's spelled dick before, and I now seem to be addicted to using the word. Addicted. Look at that. It's everywhere. Right, let's start again. So one of the things was to get to the point where the difference between knowledge and information, you have to understand what data is. In my mind, data is just a thing.
One object.
One object. one idea from a brainstorm, right? It's just one item. And when you put two items together, then you have context with each other, mm-hmm. and I believe that makes information.
Yeah.
So it's raining. This is one I've just talked about earlier, but I'll repeat it anyway. It's raining, and
where?
It's useless, exactly. So where? But if I say it's raining outside, I told you the story 2 seconds ago.
Then
so
I know it's raining here in Antwerp, and I don't know what that I need to stay inside.
But now you've got information, exactly. But the point about it being knowledge is when you put your own personal view on it, and you would react differently to John Smith, who likes going out in the rain in his shorts and T-shirt. Yep. Like today, I went out for lunch and got caught. I went out for lunch. It was windy. When I came back out of the restaurant, it was raining, and I hadn't taken my coat with me because I was running late. But that's the difference between data, information, and knowledge. And I would venture that when you're doing true brainstorming, you're just collecting data.
Yes. But for me, because it was a customer I didn't wear before, so I didn't know how they work, it was also getting insight in some of their processes and getting the information about how they do work at the moment.
So you was collecting data, or you was collecting information?
Most of the time data, but for...
Really? But you were saying...
Most of the time data?
Ooh, she's getting pissy.
No, not
go
at
on,
all.
Go on.
But you said you didn't going to interrupt me again.
No, I lied.
So most of the time data, but for me to understand better what they need to have and where they want to go, it was information about how they worked.
So you were not collecting data, you were collecting information?
Both.
How?
Because for them it was data, they know the process, they know they need to know what they need to know about a specific process document. So for them it was the data. And for me, it was better understanding in how they worked to provide them with good advice.
I'm not suggesting for 1 second that your brainstorming was unsuccessful. You had a great workshop today and you got where you wanted to get to, and that's great. But I am arguing about the specifics, which probably is a bit irrelevant. That's the other thought about all of this. Well, we're trying to answer the question that is collaborating just communications with a goal? And you believe that to be the case, said I kind of, in a way. But we argued about the brainstorming stuff, and you flatly refused to accept. But you did say these people were not talking about data, they were talking about information. They had more than one word or more than one idea joined together. So they had context, which means it's information, which means it's not brainstorming. As soon as you add two of those items in brainstorming together, it's not brainstorming anymore. You're not collecting individual ideas that you can then discuss to find out how I can generate a solution or I can generate somewhere else. I'm not going to try and force you to agree with me, because you're just a stubborn, beautiful lady and you won't agree with me anyway. All right, I've been here before so many times before, I'm not going to go there. But so I will let our listeners decide who they think is right or wrong, and they can tweet and let
idea.
Us know. All right. So that was the idea of data, information, knowledge. Do you agree with that, though, as a
yes.
concept? Sorry?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I heard it right.
I just want to hear that you are right.
I love it. I mean, I think that audiencing and that kind of stuff, so that, you know, you can actually say this audience of people need this information around their engineering product, and they then see that's filtered out of a list or prioritized in the list, I think it is brilliant. And of course, with AI and knowledge management, it's improved a tremendous amount. So the idea of that data, information, knowledge is actually key. The other question that we've kind of come across here is around, does collaboration fit into communications? Now you can tell me how that works. That's what you were doing.
having the discussions of having the talks about what's important for which department.
Yes. So you were collaborating with communications.
Yes.
I think that's what you were doing. So you possibly might want to just about admit you weren't brainstorming.
I was going to say I was collaborating through communication in a brainstorm session.
Oh, this is so funny. I like it. I like it so much. This is brilliant. I don't know how to answer this, really. I do. I mean, collaboration is about sharing ideas. And we've had great times where we've built one idea on another idea and on another idea. And that is part of communication. Okay. And I put a definition up there. So I think it's a linear collaboration process. So communications is a linear collaboration process, which I believe is what you were doing today, where you said, hey, where do you actually have problems finding your content? Yeah, but that's because there's too many folders. And somebody else said, well, yes, there are too many folders, but if you put them in alphabetical order, then you can actually find the folder you're looking at and then you can open it. Yeah, but then there's so many folders deep. How do you know what is it for the fifth layer of folder and not the first layer of folder? That's communication, because they're bouncing off each other, but they're developing an idea. They're collaboration through developing an idea, not through brainstorming, I believe. I'm not going to ask you for an opinion. But I'm guessing, so that idea of linear collaboration process is as equally as powerful as brainstorming, whichever way around you go.
Yes. And I do think the linear collaboration process is what most of the people do all of the time during their work, and what else? They talk a lot and they try to get some answers out of each other and find solutions or anything else.
Yeah, they're meeting. They're just sharing their opinions until somebody said that's a good idea or a bad idea. And I love doing that. I mean, hey, John, don't know whether you're listening to this or not, but John and I spend a lot of time, we try and find at least 1 hour a week where we start to collaborate around something that we need to kind of move on or improve or progress. And that does mm-hmm. turn out to be a collaboration.
Yep.
But we often brainstorm, and we do change the way we work. I'm not trying to make you say that you agree or disagree. I've passed that point. But I do want to be able to throw in these conversations, so it is funny. But every time I talk about brainstorming now, your eyes light up as if to say, I'm going to get on the attack here like a cat about to jump at you. But so very often we would then say, yeah, but that actually means we've got some options here, so which one's the best option? And we go into brainstorming mode quite naturally, where we just go, okay, what's your first one? What's your second one? We might write them on the board, or we don't use post-its when we tend to brainstorm, but we write down the options without linking them together.
Yep.
So we attack the problem with different ideas, and then we work out, as we start to discuss each one of them and how they work, we would link them together with lines or whatever, or go and build another model, you know, based upon that input. And I think you need to work out whatever tool it is that that you're working on.
Yeah, it's a little bit like we did last Friday in Warsaw together, when we were working on a case where we need to have the workflows done. When some specific field is not filled in, we need to create a search link into the list. How do we do it? It's not with JSON, we already know, because that didn't work. We tried. And we start talking about it and discussing about it. And we find something we are going to try to make it work now.
Yeah, and it worked. What is always good whenever we do this is that you come from the... You see the smile on my face. You know that I'm about to be insulting here. But you come from the developer perspective, which I know you keep telling me is not logical, but you have these things linked together. I kind of come from a business perspective, and I've got another example about that as well in a minute, where I think about what it will look like for the end user and the business. And those two things brought together actually did generate an idea. You went into developer mode, which means that you don't hear a word I say to you anymore. You're staring at the sky. You can see the lips moving. And then, of course, I go, "You okay?" Yeah, I'm just trying to think about that. I see. I think I might have worked this. I think I know where I'm going to go with it. I've got something to go and try. And then off you go, and you go and try something. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. But in this case,
the developer mode, I do like it because I can really disconnect from everything around me when I'm there.
It's amazing. I see it in a number of people. I can't do that. My brain is never stops, and so I'm happy to be distracted while
my brain isn't stopping, but I can disconnect everything else. Yeah, so I can
you're doing
just
linear
focus.
Collaboration. You're going, oh, if I do that and do that and do that, do I get this? Oh no! So you'll come back and then go, what if I do that and I do that and do that? Will that give me what I need? It might do. If I do that, do that, do that. Oh yeah, that would be better. Let me go and try that. So that is linear collaboration. We can't actually do brainstorming ourselves, by the way. Our brains will not allow us. Because, no, but physically, but chemically, the brain won't actually do brainstorming on its own because it's every thought we have is connected to something else at some point because of the way the brain connects together. So you do need to have more than one person when you do so collaboration. All right. I don't know which one we want to touch upon next, really. Yeah, I kind of want to save that one till the end. I think that brings a lot of stuff together. How does collaboration fit into communications? So we've kind of already covered that one, really, haven't we? Where
yes.
we kind of do linear thinking. Maybe that's the only one left. So I wanted to talk about a process that I went through recently, trying to identify triggers and to identify where we're at. So the scenario is that we have a database, and the database has got employees in. And as you know, as a developer, you're basically looking to change the state of things. So, hey, I'm trying to build this to happen, then I need to know the status of that, and then I can use them as triggers and those kinds of things. So we had a basic model, and it's one that I'm using more and more when it comes to user management, user in, user out, that kind of stuff. So an employee is just a human resource, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just sitting there. It's a name and it's an address. It's somebody's identity. When I want to turn them into somebody that can access Microsoft 365, for example, or Azure or Workflow or whatever, then they need to become a user. So the idea is we were looking to try and work out how we collect these employees in this organization. So the basic, we have them in HR systems. We have them where the service desk just adds them to the network through a form. And we also have them in SaaS systems in different clouds. And so collecting the employees was really quite useful, all right? So we knew that we'd got these three ways of adding employees, and they were then stored into a data twin, in fact. But it was collecting and sending data into different directions. It's a data twin device. But at some point, those employees had to become users. So we needed to work out what the triggers were. And the team that were in there suddenly went, you know, we don't need these three ways of actually bringing users in. So we actually started collaborating in a communications manner, in that they was trying to explain from a developer's logic, okay, that says, look, it doesn't matter. Rather than actually having people added in the SaaS system, in the cloud system, then we can just put them in with a form, and then we can add them to the SaaS system through the application. And I was trying to explain that you needed context. So I went back to this idea that you actually need the context of your data, because you had different end users that used each of those different systems and different triggers that was being generated each time to generate the user. The reason we needed to do a user, by the way, was so that they could log on to a system and be authenticated. So we needed them to have a license. So the idea really is that we had to go through each one, trying to identify the trigger point for each one, and they were different for each system. So one, I had to have be employed. So the HR system said, this is somebody we pay money to, so mm-hmm. they now need a license. The other one was, this user needs to be approved. So the one with the form had an approval process.
Yep.
Then it needed a license. And the one from the SaaS system, they needed to do something in the SaaS system. They needed to, you know, add users to a classroom or something. And then when they were added to a classroom, so they got a job to do, then we needed to give them a license so they could log in. As soon as they didn't have a license anymore, we took the license away. But it took me 90 minutes to get the development team to understand that this is not about pure logic. You have to have the context to be able to make these decisions. The end users using the system, how the information gets put in, and then the trigger that was being generated.
Yes, and I do understand why the development team thinks different. Because
they're special people.
I came from that direction as well. And that's something we talked about in previous workshops as well. It's between the communication between development and IT and business. So that's the hardest part of all of this, because you as business do know what you want to achieve and what you need to have and to start working on that. While development thinks like, no, we don't need it. We can directly do that and that and that. They don't understand what is behind all of it.
No, they were going for some kind of efficiency. Because the other thing is that they had a lot of middleware stuff in there. And I'm going, why have we got middleware stuff in there? Well, because we need to approve it. Yeah, but we can approve it. The triggers are different. And they were trying to use the same code for everything.
Yep.
And, of course, there was no N+1 in a lot of stuff. There was nobody to approve things in some of those systems, but there was in others.
Yes.
It was all kind of... but it was an interesting process to go through, and eventually we got there. But what's really funny, and this is no lie, okay? I'm not jacking anybody off here, all right? We have the situation where we have a user, and so I said, so when they become active, they need to have a license. Okay, so when they become active? Yeah, okay, so let's have a definition of active. So the definition of active is, and he literally wrote it out in code, in his notes. This is just... the developer making notes. And don't get me wrong, Nick, I love you to pieces. It's not the Nick you know, but you know, it was just fun to watch. He sat there and said, active user equals something, I can't remember what he put in, where the start date is less than the end date. All right. And then, so that was an active user, and that's how he typed it out. All right, and it's just in Excel. It was just building this model in Excel. It wasn't programming it. And then he said, an inactive user is where the start date is greater than the end date. All right, and as long as the end date is actually coming before this, whatever, but he literally typed it out. I went, why don't you just type active? All right, yeah, well, the system might change, and then da, 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 da. Yeah, okay, I give in, but they're never going to change the start and end date. They're going to make them active or not active. There might not even be an end date in there, so he hasn't worked that out yet. Because if I've got somebody that's on the books, they're never going to be an end date because they're just an employee. So I let him work it out. But what's interesting is that he took his notes away to start building. I took his notes away so I could start writing it up, because somebody needs to go to the business to say, okay, this is how the system's going to work, and they aren't going to think about start dates and end dates. They're going to want to say that me, as the person that adds these users into that system, needs to fill this information in.
Yep.
So that it'll work. And it was very interesting to watch that context.
I would have write another comment, but yes, I do understand why you wrote it.
It was part of the fun. Alrighty, so that's what we had on our mind map to talk about. Is collaboration just communications with a goal? So now we need to decide whether that's a true statement or not.
For me, it is. I do think that without communication, there won't be collaboration.
I can't argue with that.
You don't communicate, you don't go, you don't work together, you don't get things solved, you don't get ideas to work on. So, yes, for me, it's collaboration. Yeah, the statement is true.
For me, the statement is true as well, but for a different reason. So for me, you can't have a goal unless you can communicate it. So you can't actually say we are going to achieve this without actually having what that definition is.
So we are agreeing that the statement is true for many reasons, actually.
Correct. Yeah. Brainstorming still is not communication. But that's okay. But I think it doesn't really matter. You use the tool for the job. But I am looking forward to everybody else's opinion on this. So
yes.
Listen, we have the Twitter account. We have a number of other places which you will cover.
Twitter, LinkedIn, WhatsApp.
WhatsApp, yes. Join the Fusion Talk WhatsApp group. Search for it and tell us whether you think that true brainstorming is communications. So we'll work on that one. It's different. All right. So, you're speaking next week in Amsterdam. You've covered that.
Yes.
Where afterwards? Oh, we've actually got a session together. We're redoing our business transformation, but that's not till September.
No. I do think the first conference I will be going to after Amsterdam will be Comsverse.
Oh, funny enough, I will be there too.
Yes, we are going to do something together there. But not talking of, not presenting a session.
No, we're actually going to be running Comsverse TV. So the three of us, Moraine, you and me, then we're going to do Comsverse TV. So we'll work out where that is going to be and make sure people know so they can watch it. Because we've got some pre-conference sessions to do. And then we've got some live TV sessions to do in the conference itself. That's going to be really exciting.
Yes.
Nerve-wracking. With lots of things that could go wrong. and Comsverse. And this is where I do this to Moraine all the time. So I'm not going to apologize for it. But what dates are Comsverse?
The 26th of June and the 27th.
There she goes. Well done. I can never remember dates. I don't have a time lap in my mind. So, 26th, 27th of June, I'll trust you. We could just do a quick look up to confirm it.
Yes.
But that's going to be Comsverse in the UK at the Mercedes World, just southwest of London. So if you want to come and see us, we'll be sitting in the exhibition space.
And I'm right about the dates.
Yeah. look at what Logitech are offering. We got to do that this year. We didn't do it before.
No.
We have to go and drive those Mercedes. Moraine and I did it, and it was brilliant. All right, so we're going to Mercedes World. That is going to be Microsoft Teams. We are going to be in the middle of the exhibition space with all the podcast kit, with all the video studio, and we're going to do 7 live shows that will be on YouTube. So if you don't actually get to the event, you will be able to catch it on Comsverse TV. So yeah, it's good.
And the 7 live shows, how many people do we talk with them then?
Each show there should be, all being well, 2 suppliers and a speaker. So they'll all have 15 minutes each, and then we'll all rumming around the rest. Unless you and Moraine are speaking, because you guys have sessions to do.
Yes.
And then it might just be me. But it doesn't matter. We'll work it out.
We both speak at different time slots, so there will
there'll always be
one
two
of
or
us.
Three
yes.
In there. But there. So anyway, if you go to the website at comsverse.com, then you can win one of 150 Mercedes fast lap experiences.
But you need to be at the Logitech booth for it.
Logitech. Yeah. Cool. So Logitech, actually it'd be good if Logitech, I don't think they were there before. Is that the first time I've seen Logitech, the company there?
I don't know.
Cool kit. It really is very cool kit. I like Logitech. I'm a Logitech luminary.
You have what?
I am a Logitech luminary. It's their sort of user group thing. And they set it up with it from MVPs. And then I think they just opened it up to anybody. But yes, so I'm a Logitech luminary.
And that means?
No idea. I got a box of free Logitech sampled stuff, and I get an insight into their products. And I also believe I can join some of their online training courses as well. But it is pretty cool. One of the things that I saw last year in Barcelona from Logitech was their table cam. Have you seen that table cam?
No. Nope.
So you know if you've got a video system at the end of the table, obviously, the guy at this end here, First of all,
you can't recognize them.
No, you can't. So they have a camera halfway down the table that records the bottom half of the table, and then they bring all of them in one line. You can't tell that you're actually on there, but it's a case of bringing everybody on there. It's a dead cool stuff. It's also got speakers and microphones built into it. So that is pretty neat. Yeah, it's pretty neat. All right, so that's Comsware. So yes, that will be in June. So we've got a lot of work to do on that one. That will keep us busy.
Yes, but the first thing we will do together is next week recording a new It Depends show.
It depends. God, we are busy.
Yes, we are.
Monday night, It Depends. If you've caught that on YouTube as well, that is good fun. We do that with a number of people, but Moraine, of course, Moraine and I are inseparable, unfortunately. Anouk is on there as well as Kaz. So we are the normal crew, but you'll also find a number of other people. So Sarah Fenner is on there and good old Kevin. So yeah, all cool, good stuff. Nice. You see, we're all well connected.
Yes, we are.
Good. Do you want to finish it off? I'm going to say goodbye, Steve. Bye-bye. Over to you.
Yes, goodbye, everyone, and hope you listen next time again.
Is that it? You're just going to say goodbye?
Yes.
You're not even going to say, all right, Steve, brainstorming. All right. See you guys.
Wish.
I wish. Ciao. Yeah.